My name is John. This is my wife, Tracy. We're the Willies, and this is our story.
I have been going on the youth trips to Barona for a few years, and I came home one particular time, and I said, John, I want to move to the DR. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And a couple of weeks later, we met Sarah and Renee. Renee is from there, originally from there, grew up and was raised with God, with church, and moved to the United States. We met him at River Run. Both John and Renee and Soraya had been going to River Run for 12 years at that point. And within 5 minutes of meeting them, I said, can we go on your next mission trip with you to Paraíso? And John was like, what? We're going to Paraíso?
First of all, you should know I don't like to travel. I don't like being out of my comfort zone. And if you could pick one place that would be completely out of my comfort zone, it would be Paraíso. And we felt welcomed in a place where really, you don't want to say it's a third world country, but there's a lot of things that they don't have. There's a lot of poverty, and especially in Paraíso, there's a lot of people that feel they're stuck in poverty. Yet they opened their hearts and their homes to us. They met us for the first time. We'd go out and do prayer walks, and people would see us doing the prayer walks, and they'd come out and grab us and take us into their house. Because we'd have a plan when we would do the prayer walks of certain elderly homes that we were going to go to and pray with these people. And it would take us an hour to get there because people would grab us and pull us into their houses to pray for them. And they're just such a welcoming town. Everyone knows everyone. Their homes are open to everyone. And you're welcome. And they make sure that, you know they're welcome there. Any bit of food, they're very inviting people. And they invited us into their world. They really did. And we prayed a lot about our trip that first year we went. And part of the thought, a lot of the things that happened to us there, really opened our eyes to how people really live in this world. You just can't imagine until you're there and see it. A lot of times, especially during the prayer walks, I'd have the Spirit just telling me, I'm talking to God going, someone's got to do something about this. I mean, these people they're struggling. They need help. And then the Spirit's just talking to me saying, that's what you're here for. That's why I brought you here. And said, I'm yours, God. I'm in it 100% wherever you want me to go. And then things just started, dominoes started falling with first in Casa de Gracia and then in Paraíso. And
I'm listening and having the support of Renee and Soraya to, help us get to know the neighborhood. I mean, now it's like I can't wait to go back because I know so many people that are waiting for us to come back. They even know when we're coming. So, for the next trip that we're going on, and they're like, hurry up, they really want to spend some time with us, and they just love that we go around and visit everyone.
It was a decision we made jointly that we were going to move there permanently. Things were, the time factor involved with my retirement, when I could collect Social Security, and us moving down there in a couple of years. Everything just kind of fit. So we made a 2-year plan and that 2-year plan now is down to 1 year. So we have 1 year left on that 2-year plan.
Set up tent and set up a neighborhood group. That's going to be amazing.
It really didn't come to a reality to me until last December when Tracy sold her Jeep.
Sad, but good.
And that broke her heart, I know. She loved her Jeep.
But you know what? Nothing's better than going and teaching people about the Word of God.
So now the next thing up is the house. And this coming October, we want to have the foundation of the community center laid. So that's
our
goal.
I promised Ava I'd be there for her 110th birthday. So we have to be there by then.
When we look at our goals of building a community center there, and we'd be there year-round. And the amount of people that we would be able to impact down there with year-round instead of just 10 days twice a year going down. And you pour into someone for even 20, 30 days, and you see the impact that it's having. Doing it year-round would impact a lot of people. And we'd also open up the community center to the local churches, because that's, you know, our mission statement is to
be the hands and feet of Jesus by showing pure and genuine love and partnering with the local churches to care for defenseless children and their families.
Going out and being intentional with your neighbors, whoever your neighbors are, being intentional with them. You don't have to go to the Dominican. If God calls you to go, go. Just because God spoke to us and we answered, we listened, and he's going to answer us, and we're going. That's not for everybody. There's Bithlo calling. There's Transformation Village. We could be neighboring in Transformation Village, and all the great ministries that are working locally that we could partner with and do neighbors with. I encourage if anyone who has that calling to go.
In the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they even rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. In this passage here, the Word is Jesus. And John, who wrote this, gave and used this word, logos, to describe Jesus, to help us to understand who Jesus is. Jesus is the Word. He is truth. In fact, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That Jesus is the Word, that truth emanates from him. He is truth. Everything that he thinks is true. Everything that he does is true. Everything that he says is true. And this one who is true, the Word, is Jesus. So in the beginning, Jesus already existed. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Shows the complexity of our God. God is not like us. He is three persons, one essence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so this Jesus, he existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through Jesus, and nothing was created except through Jesus. And Jesus gave life to everything that was created, and Jesus' life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. He uses the word light for the thinking of clarity. that Jesus, when he created everything that was true, and everything was clear, everything was understandable. There was no confusion until we decided to move away from God. And when we moved away from God, things got really confusing. When we began to do things the way that we wanted to do it, and the way that we wanted to do it, and the way that we think should be the right way to do it, everything got confusing. So God sends the Son, who is true, to bring clarity and light to a darkened world. And so he comes in verse 14. So Jesus became human. Do you know what Christmas is? Christmas isn't the birth of a baby. It's a moving in party, if you will. It is God moving into our neighborhood. Jesus had already existed. He just moved in amongst you and I. He came amongst us and he took on flesh. He was with God, and then he became one of us and lived among us. And in this passage, we begin to see what kind of neighbor Jesus was. And the type of neighbor that he would be if he moved in right next to us, because in verse 14, he took on human nature, moved into our neighborhood, and he was full of unfailing love and fullness. So when we talk about neighboring and living in our neighborhoods, and Jesus Christ is our target by which we live, we see exactly the target we should aim for. It's to be full of unfailing love and faithfulness right where we live. Now, I love John and Tracy Willie's story because there's so much in their story that is such a great illustration of what Jesus did. John, who hates to travel and was very comfortable living here in Orlando and living his comfortable life in his comfortable home, God just wrecked him for a people. A people that he fell in love with. And a God that he fell in love with. And a God who fell in love with the people that he fell in love with, was bridging those two together. And so moving out of his comfort, he's planning next year to move down there permanently to Paraíso because of his love for God and the love for the people and the neighbors in Paraíso. That Jesus Christ left a comfortable place to move into our neighborhood. And our neighborhood ain't all that great. And Jesus experienced that, right? Right off the bat, people wanted to kill him. But he came anyways. And he came because he loves his people. He loves you and I. And I love the fact of the matter is that Jesus became like one of us. He took on flesh. He took on our frailty. He took on our bodies. He took on culture. He took on Aramaic. He took on their clothing. He took on their food. He took on everything there in order to relate to them the ultimate timeless truth of a God who loves them. And ultimately, his plan there to give up his life for the people that he loves. And I love that John and Willie are taking on a different culture. To go and love a people who are no longer a people, but who are becoming friends and soon looking forward to when they're actually going to move there to become neighbors. To live a life full of unfailing love and faithfulness there in Paraíso. But here's the deal, guys. We hear stories about this and we think, man, they're going to a totally different foreign country and they're going to move there. That's incredible. That's great. Hey, but that's not me. That's not me. And sometimes we sit there and we kind of wonder, hey, God, what's your plan for me? What do you want me to do with my life? What is my purpose in life? What do I need to be doing? And we Americans, we tend to ask that question a lot. And oftentimes, I'm guilty of this, and I think a lot of us are guilty of this, is that we just kind of sit on our hands and waiting for God to show us what to do. And we tend to sit on our hands waiting for something that we think is going to be huge and massive. And so we just kind of sit and we wait. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And oftentimes I see that we can get very anxious in our walk with God because we just get bored and we think what we need is we need a better sermon, we need a better program, we need something to keep us going, and or we need something big. So what is that what? And so we stay kind of stagnant, just kind of waiting. And I think we asked the wrong question. When it comes to your life and what your life is all about, what is important? But it's not the most important thing. In fact, you can find some meaning in the what questions. But there's another question that I think we all got better at asking God. I think it would radically change our lives in a way that we would see God move beautifully in our lives and through our lives and give us greater joy. And that question is not what. That question is who. Is who. Who do you want me to love, God? Who do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to interact? Who in my life already there that I haven't been listening to that you want me to open up my ears to? And when you do that, man, you begin to see God move and begin to tell a story that you never even thought of before. Last week, if you were here, Todd and Tina gave their story about moving into this house, and they wanted this house to be used by God. But really, in reality, if they would kind of gut check, they moved into that neighborhood because they really didn't want anybody to bother them. They live on quite a few acres. They back up to the Econ River, and you can't even see their house from the street. But they were at least open to say, okay, God, this is your house. What do you want me to do? This is your thing. And so they began to move into this house that they were trying to get away from people. And then all of a sudden on the first day, here comes this lady tramping through the woods in the thicket. If you've ever been there, it's the thicket. Trampling through the woods, and she's barefooted. She has some eggs in her hands. And she says, are you guys weird? What I mean by weird, are you guys like Christians? Because I'm kind of like your neighborhood atheist. And when you open up everything to God, he gives you some stories. And you heard their story. They built relationships with her, and now she's beginning to wonder about this God that Tina and Todd have been showing her through their unfailing love and faithfulness to their neighbor. And by just going to a meeting and just hearing about a foster care family in their own neighborhood down the street from them, and just listening to God and building relationships with those families and with those girls and just saying, God, what do you want us to do with it? And then all of a sudden, boom, everything begins to change. It's who? Who are you bringing into my life? You don't have to press it. You don't have to think about it. You just open up your eyes and ears to what God has around you and who God has around you. And he has a story for you. John and Tracy were the same way. You hear their story. It's all about who? Renee and Soraya came into their lives. So who? They invited them to come down to Paradiso. And they went down to Paradiso on a mission trip. In fact, they went down there and they found some people who became friends. It wasn't about a what. It became about a who. A neighborhood, a community, and people. Changed everything. Ask both of these couples 5 years ago. Where do you see your life in 5 years and what God's going to be doing? They would have no clue because they didn't write the story. They just said, God, who is around me? And who is it that I need to love with your unfailing love and faithfulness? And I'll go do it. And let God write the story. Let God take the adventure. And here's the thing, guys. You don't have to. As John said, you don't have to move to the DR. God calls you to it. Go. You got a great story. But you don't even have to go there. In fact, you have a place already. It's right where you live. You have a home. You have people right around you within 10, 30 feet of you. A little bit more. That live right close to you. When Jesus moved into our neighborhood, he moved in full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Let me ask you guys a question. Would your neighbors say of you, would they say, oh, you guys, When I talk about you guys living in my neighborhood, you guys are just full of unfailing love and faithfulness to me and my family here as your neighbors. Would they say that of you? I think most of us, and it's kind of our culture, would say, I don't think my neighbors even know me to know whether I have unfailing love and faithfulness to them. And sometimes we just think, God, what is the purpose of my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? And it's just right there, right in front of us to begin to build relationships that are meaningful to people right where we live. And I think that is so important. I think for so long, our culture, as we become a lot more introverted or we become a lot more confined, we've lost so much opportunity to see God work in amazing, incredible ways, because I've learned through the years of ministry that you can make an impact by writing a check or going and serving at an event. And I'm not downgrading that. You can have an impact in that. But when I see history and I see God moving throughout history, and I've seen God move in my life and through my life and the people that I've gotten to know, I see God moving the most powerful when people begin to build relationships with other people. And that is when God begins to change everything. Our culture has shifted, because oftentimes when we look at our house, we think of our houses as our sanctuary. It's where we get away from everything. We think of our house as our castle. We got a moat and a drawbridge called a garage door opener, and we open it and shut and go in, and that's it. And that's where I want to get away, because we got work and we're running our kids everywhere and all that sort of stuff. I just want my place where I can go and I can get away from. But you know, I used to think that way. And God began to change my heart as I began to look at Jesus and the things that Jesus has said. Jesus told his disciples right before he was going to die and sacrifice his life. He says, I'm going to be leaving you, but don't worry, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It has many rooms, okay? I'm preparing for you a place in the castle, a place in the mansion. And he says, and if it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the writer of Hebrews talks about entering into this rest when we come to our God. But scripture also tells us, though we find our rest in Christ, who gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding, our ultimate rest is when he takes us home with him. But right now, it is time to live in our neighborhood, if you will, with the full unfailing love of Jesus Christ, and to live with faithfulness to him and to the people around us. It's time for us to open up our doors back again and invite people back into our homes and into our lives. Because you know why? Because your neighbors need you. And you, funny enough, as you begin to build relationships with them, you will begin to understand how you need them. So where does it all start? How does it start? Again, when you look at the way that God moves in your life, you don't have to press it. So he's not even asking you to press it. What he's asking us is to be intentional in listening and opening up our eyes, not to the what, but to the who right around us. That we have neighbors and they matter to God. And they're human beings. And if you go down that trail like I have and begin to think, okay, what's the divorce rate in America? How many people are struggling financially in America? How many people have or are struggling with cancer or some physical issue or problem? How many people are depressed and feeling lonely in our culture? If you were to add up all those statistics together, what do you think is the likelihood that somebody right near you is suffering by themselves? It's pretty high. It's pretty high. But if all we did was to build relationships and to get to know people on a human level as Christ got to know humanity and to serve and to love humanity on a human level, we would begin to see God really move in and through our lives. It's not super complicated in that. It's just being intentional. And it's about talking. It's about talking to God. One of the things that you hear about the two stories between the Marenshaws and the Willies is they talk to God a lot. And it's interesting, a lot of times these talks begin to shift. If you hear these stories and God's stories with people, you begin to hear these shifts. And these shifts kind of go like this. Oh, God, bless those people. God, they are hurting. God, I would ask that you would do something in their life. And then it begins to shift. It begins to shift to more prayers like, Father, pray for Dulce. She's a 16-year-old girl here in Paraíso who's grown up here, and she's bright and she's wonderful and she's beautiful. I pray for her heart and her life and her trajectory in her life, and I pray that if you would just use us and use this community center for Dulce, by which she can learn a trade or grow in her education, that she can go to the university, and maybe someday, God, that Dulce would come back to Paraíso and begin to love and serve her neighbors. It's not those people anymore. It's about a real human being that happens in our lives. And that's why one of the things that's so important are names, and to get to know people and their names. Do you know how many times in Scripture the word name is used? 933 times in there. Do you think names are a big deal? Names are a big deal to us, right? In fact, when we meet somebody and we see them again maybe about a week later and they call you by your name, you're like, wow, kind of makes you feel special because our names matter. In fact, Jesus said when he's talking about himself being the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 3, he says, he, the good shepherd, calls his sheep by name, and he leads them. Names are important, and there's something about when we learn a person and learn their name, they're no longer a human, you know, this person out there. They're now a real human being. There's a relationship there. Do you remember, some of you guys have been around here for a while, we had this thing called the Blessed Five, and these are out on the information table, and we have these homes here, and we pass these out to you guys. We did it in kind of a magnet form, and to just kind of write the names of your neighbors on there, so they wouldn't just become those people, that you would begin to have a relationship with them. And so when you get this sheet, you look at it, and you go, well, these are those people. And one of the things I find in my own life is that if I don't know these people, I won't talk to God very much about them. Because I'll start, hey, you know what? I pray for that gal that's over in that house, that whatever they're doing, I pray that somehow in some way that maybe they might get to know you, God. And I may pray that once or twice. Or I may get in my car and drive into my neighborhood and I pray for those people and that person, and that person. But I don't really know them. I don't really know what's going on. And I'll stop praying for them. But then, once I begin to know their name, God, I just pray for Megan and Tom and their beautiful little kids, Ricky, who's 5, and Milo, who's just turned 3 years old. That God, they just moved into our neighborhood 3 months ago, and they moved here because they want to get to know their neighbors. I pray that, God, that you would just give us some opportunities to kind of get to know them a little bit better and serve them a little bit more and see what happens. God, I pray for Bonnie. And I just thank you so much for what a wonderful woman that she is, that her twin sister passed away and had a daughter who was just turned like 13 years old. And Bonnie took Cody, her niece, into her house and raised her. I'm so thankful for Bonnie who did that and Cody and now that she's grown up and has a husband whose name is Mike and has 5 kids, AJ and Riley and Peyton and Quinn and Harper. And I pray for those kids. They're beautiful, wonderful kids. And as I get to know them, I can talk to God about what's going on in their life. They're not just those kids. They're people that God loves and that God knows by name, and my heart begins to connect with them. Because my hope is that where I live, it's not just a house, it's a place where I learn about, through the relationships of the people that live around me, that I learn what it means to be full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And that means even the difficult neighbors, because I have found even in my own life that those people who never mow their yard, you begin to learn their name, Dan and Jennifer, and you begin to realize what life has not been good for them, and it's been hard for them, and I can start praying for them. No longer am I bitter about their yard, but now my heart is beginning to be broken, and not because I'm nosy, I'm not. I'm just listening and talking to God about it and letting God do that. You know, then there's Alex and Ileana Gonzalez. Alex was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and he met his wife when he moved to Boston, and Alex was married before, and he was married young and made some really poor and bad decisions, and they had a child together, a son who is now grown up. And Alex divorced and remarried, and now he has a 9-year-old boy named Angel who is just a fabulous, fabulous boy. And Alex is just a wonderful father. And you could see, and just listening to him as I've gotten to know him, just had the anguish inside of him of how he had treated and just neglected his older son. And you see that he's not wanting to do this again in the way that he loves his 9-year-old son, his younger son, with his second wife, and how he doesn't want to make that mistake, and how he loves him tremendously, but you can sense the grief that he had with him. And one day, he was just chatting me about this. He just opened up, and we were just talking, and somehow it just kind of bended that way. And then I began to realize that, hey, we're having a conversation here where my brother here, 2 doors down, you know, needs to hear the light, needs to hear the word. And so as he's telling me the story, I said, you know what, Alex, here's the truth. Man, we've all messed up. You know, bringing some light, some clarity. We've all messed up. You know what, our Father, Heavenly Father, he loves us tremendously. He loves you and he loves your son. And the beautiful thing about it is that through his son, his sacrifice for us, he gives us second chances to reconnect with him, and not only that, but to reconnect with those that we may even have wounded. Because the story is not over yet. I said, you know what, Alex, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna start praying for you and for your son. And I'm just gonna encourage you that maybe you just do the same, you know? And that was it. And there was, you know, wasn't flashing and all that or fancy or anything like that. It was just encouraging Alex. Alex, I get it. I get it, man, and I also feel your pain, but you know what? There's hope. And this hope is not in a truth statement. This hope is in a person whose name is Jesus Christ, who loves you. And I believe that if you lean into him and begin to love your son, your older son, and connect with him, I think God is going to continue to write a cool story in that. And that's all that God wants us to do. My neighborhood stories aren't as fancy as the Marinshaws or the Willies, but there's stories there. And as I'm getting to know my neighbors, I'm loving them more. And not only am I able to love them more, but I'm able to encourage them more in the light of Jesus Christ. And I'm seeing lives change slowly, not by forcing it, but simply loving. You know, in the last part here, in verse 14, I love this. Verse 14 says, you know, so the word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his home amongst us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And this next part is key. And we have seen his glory. Who's the we? This is John talking. John, who wrote this. Do you know what he's doing? He is just simply telling his story. Do you know what the Gospel of John is? The Gospel of John is John's story with Jesus Christ. You have a story with Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, my life has been impacted because this John just was moved by God to tell his story of Jesus Christ. And it's a powerful story, and so is your story. The people in your life need to hear your story, because you will be surprised how it will change people's lives. We have seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Later on in the same testimony, same story, John's story, we call it John chapter 20, I believe it's 31. He says, I write these things so that you may believe, and believing you may have eternal life. He's writing his story. So let me encourage you guys. Talk to God like nobody's business. Stop letting your neighbors and the people around you being those people. Learn their names and begin to pray with them. And then just open-handedly just say, okay, God, here I am. I'm listening. What do you want me to do? And you will begin to see God do amazing things. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your amazing grace, the fact that you, your Son, left a comfortable place to get uncomfortable to move into our neighborhood. And it wasn't because we are those people, we are your creation. You know us by name. You love us dearly. And through that love, your Son sacrificed his life so that way we can have some clarity. That we can come back to you and to know you and to enjoy you. Have clarity of purpose, that our life isn't about what, it's about who. It's about loving you and loving our neighbors. And so, Father, I ask that you would just continue through your Spirit, move in our hearts, in our minds, to begin to move people who are right around us from those people to real people, to friends, and by people by which we get to exhibit the fullness of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Let us be neighbors that our neighbors know are full of unfailing love and faithfulness. It's in your Son's name I pray.